The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com. Eric Metaxas Show with your host, Eric Metaxas.
Oh, hello. Today's Tuesday. Yeah. And I'm hopping mad.
I know you are. I can see that.
I'm hopping mad.
Wow, look at
literally
that.
Hopping.
Ah!
If you could see this by video.
Oh, my goodness.
You could see that I'm hopping even as I speak. Actually, I am hopping mad. But before I get to the thing that makes me mad, let's talk about something positive.
Yeah.
Do we have anything positive? Oh, yes.
Yes, we do.
In this hour, we complete my conversation with my dear friend, Keith Giunta, G-U-I-N-T-A. And he's, if you go to winepatch.org, you can find all his stuff. Keith Giunta and Kenny Sacked, who does a ministry. It's called Wipe Every Tear, ministry to bring young women out of sex trafficking in the Philippines. It's so beautiful. Yeah. I'm just thrilled that I got to talk to them about this.
I know, the depressing subject matter, but they bring hope to a situation. It's unbelievable. If you haven't heard it, you gotta.
It's so beautiful. So we'll, that's in hour one. So after this segment, we'll finish that. In hour two, there's a film out. You know the Irwin brothers?
Yeah.
Maybe you know one of the Irwin brothers. Even if you don't know any of them, they have a film out called The Jesus Music Movie. We're going to talk about that, the Jesus Music Movie, in hour two. But, okay, a couple of things, Albin. First of all, I got to get some things off my chest.
Okay.
Number one, I want to say this. Our country is in free fall. We have never, ever been in a situation as we are in right now. I don't believe the president was elected president. I don't believe he's president. Let's say you disagree with me. Okay, we'll put that to the side. Let's forget about that, which would be unbelievably significant, and we need to get to the bottom of it. But let's put that to the side. Even if you think he was elected, I cannot imagine more disastrous policies and actions than he has taken.
Right.
I don't know if he is an animatronic corpse. I don't know if his handlers are behind it. We don't know. That alone is a constitutional crisis, that we have all become so cynical that we think, oh, that's the way it goes. That's not the way it goes, folks. We get to choose our leaders, and if it's shown that they are not actually leading, if he is suffering dementia and there are other people around him covering for him, that is utterly, utterly antithetical to the United States of America. I don't need to say the Constitution. To the nation. This nation cannot be what it is if we're not clear on who's running the country. This is a scandal. Every Republican should be doing everything they can to get to the bottom of what is going on. What is happening at our border is an insane crisis. Anybody with a modicum of common sense knows that you do not let people into the country unless you know who they are. This is so basic. Anybody who doesn't get this is really foolish, and you can't even listen to them because this is really basic. You don't let people into the country unless you know who they are, whether they should be let into the country. There are people all around the world who'd like to come to this country. We can't simply let people in. We have a process that has been thrown in the garbage. We have total chaos. If our borders are not safe, we are not safe. And do we need a tragedy? Do we need another 9/11 to happen before people say, oh, yeah, you know, you were right. We should have kept our eyes on that ball. What's going on in Afghanistan is a scandal.
Yeah, and where is the pushback from the Republicans? You got like a handful of Republicans pushing back. They should all be pushing back.
I mean, we have, you know, you could mention
on one hand,
you could mention you've got Ted Cruz, you've got Josh Hawley. You've just got a handful of folks out there, you know, Devin Nunes, who are heroic. The others, it strikes me that you're a bum if you're not being heroic in this hour, because we need heroes.
It's really something, if you're a bum, we'll throw you out. Just opening your mouth is heroic these days. Well, just that, opening your mouth and saying something.
Thank you for your voice, Eric. And I'm thinking, what am I doing? I'm simply speaking what I think is true. I'm doing my best. The same thing about the insanity on the vaccine. Anybody – I've talked to many people – I'm just being blunt here, folks – who have had horrible results from taking the vaccine. Now, clearly, it's not everybody. But let's say it's 5% or 1% that have something really horrible happen. You're not allowed to talk about this. Well, can I tell you something? I'm talking about it now.
Right.
Because I'm not going to play that game. But the point is that I have heard people say, yes, oh, my mother-in-law took the shot, and she's never been the same since. We had a neighbor in Connecticut, who said, after I got the second shot, I've never been the same. I have trouble breathing. Where is she supposed to go for redress? Nobody wants to hear that story. Now, that's a mild case. You hear about women having late-term miscarriages. You hear about testicular inflation. That's an economic issue. You hear about all kinds of weird stuff because the spike protein is supposed to do this and do that. What if it goes to this part of the body? You hear all this stuff. And what's insane is you're not supposed to talk about it. And I'm thinking, are you kidding, folks? If you're not talking about this, if you're not posting about this on social media, I know people losing their jobs, like tremendously qualified, extraordinary human beings losing their jobs because they think taking the vaccine would be a medical mistake. They don't want to take it. And people say, well, you have to take it, otherwise you're going to lose your job. That's where we are in America. So if you aren't speaking out wherever you are and doing your job to speak out, folks, you've become part of the problem. Speaking of part of the problem, the situation with there's this the woman who they believe was murdered by a fiance, blah, 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 right? Oh, that's a fascinating soap opera, right? But how is the country focused on that? This is like one crime. There's infinity of crimes going on all around the world. We're all focused on this when all these other things are happening that could not be more scandalous. I just want to say, folks, honestly, if you are like using the murder mystery like the OJ case, you know, as entertainment, you need to think about that. Like, really, why is this our business? There are murders going on today in Chicago and New York. Nobody cares. No one cares. Nobody talks about it. But FoxNews.com leads with four stories about the, you know, the Gabi, right, Petito, whatever case. I mean, you have to kind of be critical. Before we go to our exciting guests and a very positive story, I want to say I went to a church in Danbury, Connecticut this weekend. Actually, it's in Bethel, Vale Road, Bethel. It's called His Vineyard. There weren't a ton of people there, but it was one of the most pure messages from heaven. You know, sometimes you think, man, those people, they get it. They are feeding the sheep. They are feeding the flock. And it was so beautiful. I was there because we've had terrible problems. My dad's in Danbury Hospital. It's serious, so I ask your prayers. But we're going to write a letter to the board of the hospital. They have been, you talk scandalous. And I say this because I know there are people all around the country experiencing this kind of thing. The doctors didn't call us day after day after day. We were trying to check it. They don't allow visitors. So day after day after day, we were calling to find out what's going on. We need to talk to a doctor. Like, we can't just have my 94-year-old father there with no visitors, and we don't even know medically what's going on. No one got back to us. Danbury Hospital in Danbury, Connecticut. It used to be a good hospital. I used to be excited that we lived near Danbury Hospital. And I say this because, folks, you need to speak up. Be the squeaky wheel. Complain, complain, complain. Write letters. You have to do this to hold them accountable. But Danbury Hospital in Danbury, Connecticut, I don't know what happened to them. I think they were bought by some larger group. Maybe it's about profits and not so much about the Hippocratic Oath. Is that possible? I don't know. But I said I have a radio platform, so I'm going to say this because some people have no voice. My father has a son who has a radio program, so I'm saying this. But there are tons of people in that hospital who have nobody to speak for them. And I just think that, you know, when a place that used to be a good hospital is falling down on the job, and trust me, unfortunately, there are details, it's just extraordinary. But that's why I went to this church. I said, man, I need to be in God's presence. And it's called His Vineyard. It's on Vale Road in Bethel, Connecticut. And I said, I need to mention this on the radio because, you know, when you see the real thing, you know, you need to tell people about the real thing. Alvin, is there anything else we have to talk about before we go to our happy guests?
No, not really. By the way, Ann and I have been going to Jonathan Kahn's church, and that has been a great time of celebration.
Jonathan Kahn?
Yeah.
He stinks. Come on.
Oh, come on. But that's where we've been going, and we've been absolutely loving it and been it's just
so then there are good churches.
There are good churches.
We end on a happy note. We'll be right back with Keith Junta and Ken Sack.
Hey, folks, I've got to tell you a secret about Relief Factor that the father-son owners, Pete and Seth Talbot, have never made a big deal about, but I think it is a big deal. I really do. They sell the three-week quick start pack for just $19.95 to anyone struggling from pain like neck, shoulder, back, hip, or knee pain, $19.95, about a dollar a day. But what they haven't broadcasted much is that every time they sell a three-week quick start, they lose money. In fact, they don't even break even until about 4 to 5 months after if you keep ordering it. Friends, that's huge. People don't keep ordering Relief Factor month after month if it doesn't work. So yes, Pete and Seth are literally on a mission to help as many people as possible deal with their pain. They really do put their money where their mouths are. So if you're in pain from exercise or even just getting older, order the three-week quick start for $19.95. Let's see if we can get you out of pain too. Go to relieffactor.com, relieffactor.com, or call 800-500-8384, 800-500-8384, relieffactor.com. I use it. It works.
Talking to myself and feeling old. Sometimes I'd like to quit.
Hey, folks, I continue my conversation with Kenny Sacht, S-A-C-H-T, Sacht, German, and Keith Junta, Italian. We're talking about so much. Now, the only reason I know you, Kenny, and we're talking about Wipe Every Tear, is because of you, Keith. We've been friends literally since the summer of 90. But you and I share so much, and it's a kind of funny thing. There was a golden age that I write about it a little bit in my memoir, Fish Out of Water. But when I came to faith in the summer of 88, our friend Ed Tuttle says, you got to check out this church down the street. It's St. Paul's Darien, Connecticut.
That's right.
And I felt like, you know, it's like you died and went to heaven. I couldn't believe this was a church. There was a book written about it called Miracle in Darien.
That's right.
But this is the world where we met.
Yeah.
And everybody there, we're still all friends 30 years later. Most of us are still excited about Jesus.
Yeah.
That's not normal for your typical church.
That was a very unique time. And I had been there. I landed at St. Paul's, Catholic kid growing up. I wasn't even supposed to go to a Protestant youth group. I was there in 78. That's when I came to faith. And it was surreal. It set a bar for church because we had Terry Fulham, who was just a brilliant Bible scholar, but they taught and demonstrated the gifts of the Spirit at the same time. So we had this.
See, I
usually
thought this was normal. When I went there,
right.
And I thought we've got this staggeringly brilliant Bible teacher.
Exactly.
And he wasn't just giving sermons, he was just amazingly gifted.
Yeah.
He also led worship.
Yeah.
And then we moved in the gifts of the Spirit like it was normal because it's supposed to be normal, but most churches don't even go near this. And so I kind of thought, well, now I've become a born-again Christian. This is what they do.
Yeah.
And it only took me a few years to realize, no, this is really special.
Really special.
So that was St. Paul's Darien and all of our friends, Kenny Scribner, Mairead Pryor, I mean, on and on, all these friends, Jay Etzel. Many of us are still friends. Steve Mizoraki. I think of all these names from this magical time. Obviously, Mark Brown, Yoli Brown, Peter Church was there.
Wow.
So many people. Sally Lloyd-Jones I met her there.
Yeah.
We were all part of something.
My wife. I met my wife there. Jill.
Your wife, Jill. And we can't forget Rick Vlaha and his current wife, Barbara. She used to be Barbara DeLuca. But there was a whole group of people. We're still friends 30 years later.
And all still walking
with
the Lord.
And we're all still like really zealous, you know, Jesus freaks, which is kind of a cool thing. But I appreciate it more now than I ever did.
Absolutely.
because I see how, I mean, look, we were just hanging out in Washington, D.C. with the Sean Foyt gang, and Jay Etzel was there. And you start realizing, like, we're all still all in.
Yeah.
And again, that's not that normal. It's a special gift.
Yeah, yeah. And remember, Seinfeld was the other big link that we had, because you had already become wildly fascinated with the brilliance of the early Seinfeld. And Steve and I, that's all we ever watched.
Well, I was,
so when we met,
I had the privilege of knowing Larry David before he was famous and getting to know him. And then this Seinfeld thing happens. And so when I met you guys, I mean, it's less about Seinfeld than it is about comedy.
Right.
It's about comedy. So to meet people who are excited about Jesus, but also excited about comedy.
That was my point. Yeah.
And that Seinfeld had just started, and you start talking to me about this. And so we were, it's such a joy when you meet somebody who you're on the same page in terms of faith, but also on other aspects of life.
Yeah. And can we also throw in, you were in my wedding.
What? And can we also throw in, you were in my wedding?
Well, I read.
I
read at your wedding.
Well,
if you remember that.
We couldn't afford that whole. We had you read it.
You had me read in Italian.
Yes, we wanted Italian. Suzanne is Italian and Scottish English.
And June,
I'm Greek and German.
Right.
So we got our friends to read, you know, some Greek, some German, whatever.
Great.
And yeah, it was a crazy idea.
That was great.
So we've been friends for a long time, but it's beautiful to see what happens as the years pass. I mean, you've been doing worship. You've led worship. Now you're writing. I mentioned earlier winepatch.org. And it's typical. Whenever you're really good at something, you say, like, is this any good? And you show me this stuff that you're writing. I said, this is amazing. And what cracks me up is I say the same thing to John Zmierich. I mean, you're writing stuff that I wish I could write this. I'm not doing it. You're doing it. And so I want people to see it. So people go to winepatch.org. But, I mean, it is amazing that God then leads you to this ministry, Wipe Every Tear, and now we're sitting here talking about it, and who knows who's listening to this, who's going to check out Wipe Every Tear, because we're all in the business of doing what God wants us to do. We can't pretend we know the future. We just walk with what he has for us, right?
Can I share one thing? I put it under the category of the miraculous. So I happened to be there on my first trip when it was about a dozen girls were graduating college. So we're in the safe house, and we had a ceremony. This wasn't the
cap
and gown.
These are the girls rescued out of the sex trade who are now graduating college.
And I happened to be there for the celebration of it in the house. And I watched I think it was my first day there, girl after girl get up, weeping, laughing. The Filipina girls, they're the most joyful creatures. They laugh, they dance, they celebrate. And each one of them gave testimony to Jesus. Not one of them, you didn't tell them to do this. Not one of them mentioned the pain that they came from. Not one said, I was beaten, I was raped, I was none. They were all so full of Christ. All they could do was in thanksgiving talk about how grateful they were. Now, think about here. If you were asked to give testimony, I got to think about all the things I did before I was a Christian. I got to talk about getting arrested and when I was in jail.
It almost becomes like a kabuki theater, like
it's
a thing
backwards
that you have to do. But actually, though, I am interested in the negative side so people can understand.
Yes.
What is it that these girls, who are these girls and where do they come from? Mm-hmm. Again, go to wipeeverytear.org to find out more. But how do these girls get sucked into this evil? How does this happen?
Yeah. Exploitation of vulnerability. That's the short definition of human trafficking. So they are poor. They live in the countryside called the province. And traffickers come through. Or relatives will actually, they get 1,000 pesos, which is $20, if they deliver a girl. So they get recruited. So people go through and say, hey, there's work in Angeles City. You can work in the hotels. You can work there. You can work there, housekeeping, et cetera.
This has been going on for, 150 years.
Yeah,
this is what they used to do with Scottish and Irish girls from villages in London. They'd say, you can work in domestic service, whatever, and next thing you know, they'd be in brothels.
Yep.
And, I mean, there's lots been written about that. But so that's the same old thing. That's what's happening.
It's the same old thing. That's how they all get there. That's how 99% of them get there. And then they're fronted money, which is illegal, according to the UN and you know, that constitutes trafficking.
What do you mean they're fronted money?
They're fronted money to get to the location. So they're hours and hours and hours away, islands and islands away, being recruited by traffickers.
So you have to take boats and taxis and
okay,
to get
so
there.
So what happens if they get there and they say, I don't want to do this?
They're in debt.
They owe the company store.
They're in debt.
We have a video on our website.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's a powerful
WipeEveryTear.org.
And she explains her story, and she just with tears, and she said, you know, they let me sleep one night. Took her 2 days to get there, and she said that the interview for her job, or you know, whatever the time to teach about her job and whatnot, was in a bar, and she went, what? Why am I in a bar? And a few moments later, they said, well, you got here too late. And then they literally pointed to a box of bikinis and said, get those on and be out here in an hour. And she, in tears, she said, Coach, they tricked me. She was a worship leader. Hmm. A poor worship leader in a church.
She was a worship leader who got sucked into this.
Trade.
And she knew that she had to do this or
she
else.
She was stuck. In tears when she tells her story. If she was talking to you, she would... I mean, there's great joy, but, you know, they always remember back. In fact, I always say, remember back where you came from, right? It's good to remember back where you came from. Mm-hmm. But she said, they tricked me. And, you know, here we go to the police. Not in the third world. The police are all on the take. Remember, this is illegal. There are 240 bars, Eric, 15,000 girls, and it's illegal. Everyone's on the take.
Okay, so it's obvious that the president of the Philippines doesn't care about this. Am I making this up?
I guess. I mean, I don't know how Yeah. I mean, why does it still exist? It brings in money.
How many people live in the Philippines total?
There are 100 million.
100 million. It's a huge... Wow. This is amazing. All right, we're going to go to a break. Talking to Kenny Sack, Keith Junta, WipeEveryTear.org.
It doesn't matter where we are.
Folks, we continue the conversation. WipeEveryTear.org is the website. Okay, Keith Junta, you wrote at winepatch.org under the title Jesus Walks Into a Bar about something, and I said you should tell that story.
Yeah, it was our last night, and we had worshiped for hours. We got our Jesus eyes on. We go into the bar.
You got your Jesus eyes.
Got my Jesus eyes on.
Eyes on. So that's why when you do the worship... Something happens as you're worshiping God, and you can feel it. And by the time you go into the bar, you're not the guy you were 2 hours ago. You can feel the Lord's presence.
This may be strange to say. I can honestly say the whole time there in the bars, I was never excited or aroused in any way. It is that whole compartment is gone when you're just full of the Spirit. It's gone. So we sat down, we got our drinks, and we start looking at the girls that are dancing. And through the stage, I see a girl, and she was dressed as a dancer, but she was just seated. And I'm up in a balcony, she's way down there, and I catch eyes with her, thinking Jesus' eyes, and I had to look away. Her eyes were doing something I had not experienced before. And I looked away, and I kind of regrouped, and I'm looking around, and I looked again, and she is staring at me from, I don't know. 50,
she's staring at you.
Staring at me, and I look again, and I'm thinking, okay, maybe this is somebody we can invite up. I can't. Like, I couldn't look. I had to look away, and I turned to Brian. I said, Brian, do you see this girl staring at me? And he goes, yeah, I do. Invite her up. I said, I don't know if I can, and I couldn't look at her. I can't describe it. But we did, and I gave her the sign, which is, this is the polite way, you know, to come up. And now she gathers herself, she comes around, she comes up the stairs, the mama-san sits her down.
What's a mama-san?
That is the, I mean, we would call it the
a madam, the madam.
But these are the
madam, yeah.
The madam
these
of the brothel.
The madam, okay. Yeah, the madam.
So she
and
comes
they're
up
very
with her.
They're hovering around you. They want to know what's happening. And the girl, that was Joanne, by the way. That was the one who we got the name. So she sits down. She was beautiful. And Kenny has told us, you compliment them. They are beautiful. They have beautiful hair. Your eyes are lovely. And then we would also say, and we're not. So let me hold on that. She sits down, and I look at her. We introduce. I find out her name's Joanne. I go, oh, my gosh.
Okay, so when you find out her name is Joanne, you're remembering an hour or two before.
Yes.
While you're worshiping, yes. Somebody
not
gets
me.
The name Joanne.
Right,
and they write it down on the wall.
Yeah.
Now this girl says, my name is Joanne. So you get a kind of a hint. Oh, God told us about this girl.
So we buy her a drink, and it's small talk at first. And I leaned forward, and I said, we're not here for, I said, boom, boom. We're not here for boom, boom. And she goes, I know.
She said, I know. How did she know?
And
you
I
weren't
and
there
I was still
sex?
Uncomfortable, and I couldn't figure out what's going on. And I said, I noticed you were looking at me. And she goes, I was.
She
I
said
was
that she was looking at you.
Yes. And I said, you know, normally we pick the girls that we invite. I said, but I feel like you picked me. She went, I did. I knew you were the one I was supposed to come up to. And it wasn't for Boom Boom. And I said, you know why we're here, don't you? She said, I do. The Filipina then took over, showed her IDs. They do the whole thing. She came out with us that night. She was in the coffee shop that night with three of her friends. We got four girls out from that bar. It's the most we ever got from the one bar. Brought them back, got them something to eat, gave them coffee, showed her her name upstairs. And they agreed to come to Quezon City the next day to see the safe houses. So they came back to the hotel, slept in the room with one of the Wipe Every Tear girls. And Joanne and her friend were on the bus. It's a van, the next morning to head towards Manila to tour a home.
So God somehow spoke to her.
Yes.
So that's why she's staring at you. She's thinking, I think you're the one that's going to pull me out of this mess.
So to quickly wrap this up, I've always been fascinated with Jesus' words when he said, when you do it to the least of these, you do it to me. Mm-hmm. Lord, when do we see you hungry? When did we see you naked? When did we see you a prisoner? And he said, assuredly, I tell you, not you do it for me, in my name. He said, you do it to me. So I got my Jesus eyes on that night, but Jesus in her was looking back at me. I won't pretend to explain this theologically. I experienced it. And I am telling you, it was like in Song of Solomon, your eyes are too much. I had to look away. Jesus was looking at me across this bar.
Through her eyes.
And I couldn't return the gaze because it was too much. To the least of these, you do it to me. She was in the safe house the next day taking a tour.
I mean, I got to say, when you think about how moving it is, the idea that you're looking at a girl who's been degraded.
Yeah.
And when you're looking in her eyes, you see the eyes of Jesus.
Mm.
That's kind of everything right there, isn't it?
And like, we've got it backwards. We got to get her saved. So that she can get Jesus.
It's amazing. I'm so glad that we had this time together just to have a laugh or sing a song. Seems we just get started. And before you know it, Alvin says we got another segment. I take it all back. We're gonna be right back. Folks, go to wipeeverytear.org. Check it out. Obviously, check out our website, ericmetaxas.com. Sign up for our newsletter so we can send you all the stuff we can't do here on the radio. We'll be right back. WipeEveryTear.org.
Hear the latest reporting and analysis on the big stories of the day on the Daybreak Insider podcast. It's top-notch reporting from SRN News, along with the sharpest insight from Hugh Hewitt, Mike Gallagher, Dennis Prager, Sebastian Gorka, and the voices of townhall.com. The Daybreak Insider podcast. It's your first look at today's top stories. Available at Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google, and at salempodcastnetwork.com.
Hey, final segment with my friends Kenny Sacht, S-A-C-H-T, Sacht, and Keith Junta. Junta, first of all, if your last name is Junta, why are you named Keith? What is that about?
Oh, that's
Keith
a great question.
Keith is not
question.
An Italian name.
It's because my dad is 100% Italian and my mom is not.
Right.
So she's Irish. So
we need to get Keith. Well, that people say, well, how come your name is Eric if you're Greek, Eric? Metaxas, right? Well, it's because my mother's German and she had to get that in there. All right, so right now people are listening to this story and they're thinking, well, maybe I would like to get involved. It sounds exciting and beautiful and real and non-religious in the negative sense. So if people are listening, I know they can go to the website, wipeeverytear.org, but what is there to do now? What how can people help this ministry?
Yeah, we have everyday costs, of course, Eric, but right now what the Lord is breathing on is feeding these girls. I had another vision a couple years ago when he said, I want you to feed my daughters. And he said, and he told me it would be not hundreds, not thousands, but he said tens of thousands. And you go, oh, God. So that could be all over the world maybe, but we do know that we have a lot to grow in Angeles City, the city of angels. And he told me, I'm going to bring revival in the city of angels.
So this dark place.
Yeah, very dark, and that's what he
said. So God said that to you.
He said that to
me. Okay, if God said that, that's going to happen.
Yeah, it is, and it is happening. It's like it's here now and not yet. You mean, meaning the rain is falling.
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
not pouring, but yeah. it's. But in relation to what's happening in other places, we're experiencing a downpour. It's very good. And so right now, we would love to, like, individuals, churches, other NGOs, people that want to, like, get involved, go to our website, wipeeverytear.org.
But when you say feeding these girls, break that down, because it doesn't seem like that's the problem. The problem is they're in the sex trade. But you're saying it is a problem, the food is a problem.
Yeah, I mean, they're hungry. And so that's just the way – that's like the complete good news. Like, good news comes, more than just saying a prayer and whatever, but it's feeding her before she comes into our care. So we feed them. So right now we make meals. There's a church so blessed in Angeles City, and Pastor Jenner and his team, and they make these meals. They make about 250 meals a day. And then they go out with the team and they hand deliver them to the bars with our little card that says what we do, that there's hope. And right now we would love for people to partner. It's a little under $2 a meal. We give them a very nice meal. It's rice, it's meat or fish, and it's vegetables, and it's in a box, and we give it to them.
Well, this is, you know, it's not exactly a new idea, right? I mean, the Salvation Army, I remember when I was writing the Bonhoeffer book, realizing that Bramwell Booth, who's the son of, what is it? Who is the Booth? You know, the founder of the
John
Salvation
Wilkes,
Army.
Or not John Wilkes. John. There's the history part of me.
Finally good. No, but I'm saying that Bramwell Booth, they went into Germany after World War I because the poverty and the hunger was tremendous. And they fed. Then they come in with the good news and people are like, oh, those are the people that fed us. I'd be interested in hearing what they have to say. Bonhoeffer was 15 when he went to one of these meetings and he'd never seen anything like it. He's going to these, you know, tepid Lutheran churches. And when you see that life and you see the gospel and you see people just living it out, as you say, there's something joyous about it. You said that before. It's not dour. It's not kind of like we got to have our faces down.
No.
There's joy. We're rescuing people from hell, you know, eternal and present tense. It's it's beautiful.
Yeah.
It's beautiful.
It is. And Eric, if you saw our girls, you would just immediately go, oh.
Yeah.
And I want to say hi to our girls in the Freedom House and the Love House and all of our staff right now. I love you dearly when you listen to this thing. They're amazing. They're wonderful girls filled with Jesus and a new hope and a freedom and with a great future.
It's just, it's so beautiful. We should, Keith, we should take our kids over. This is like, I love it because it's so real.
Yeah.
There's nothing theological about it. It's just real. You can see God in action. And I think that's what makes a lot of people feel like God is not for them, because it just seems like this, I don't know, this side thing. Like, I'm not interested in, you know, theology or what. I'm interested in life. And because we often package the gospel as though it's this kind of religious thing, and you realize it's not this religious thing. It is life itself. But somehow, maybe because we're so comfortable, we don't. We don't see it that way. We kind of act it as like an intellectual add-on or something like that. But this is as real as it gets. And obviously, if this is happening in the Philippines, things are happening in America. You can't come back and be the same after seen this stuff.
No. It literally changes everything. But I will say, I don't know much about first world sex trafficking. It's everywhere. It's just handled very differently here. There, you can touch it, you can smell it, you can see it. It's right in front of you. Here, we do a much better job of hiding it. So I think that's an entirely different type of work, quite honestly, because it's a different game board.
Well, it's a different reality. I mean, the reason men from the West are going there is obviously it's easier, it's more accessible, it's more in the open.
Yeah.
You know, it would be harder to find that in a place like New York City. And it almost seems like they brand it as somehow acceptable. Like, this is, hey, come on, you know, this is here for you. And it's what gives you guys the ability to go in there and do something about it. But, oh, my gosh. So you're spending most of your time in Boise, Idaho at present. You don't know when you can go back there.
No, don't know. Don't know when. But I communicate, you know, regularly, of course. You know, we got video chat and everything with my people there.
And how many people are there now?
We have 11 Filipina staff. And we've got a missionary couple from Australia. They happen to be gone when COVID hit, so they're still waiting to come back in. We have one in the waiting. And we have others in line right now that are saying, we want to be a part of this. We want to be a part of revival in the sex trade.
It's just amazing. It's amazing. Okay, so the ministry is wipeeverytear.org. I'm just thrilled that you guys could actually get into the studio. And I just imagine that we'll stay in touch on this, and I'll post it. But just want to say, Keith, thank you for introducing me to Kenny and to both of you for introducing me to Wipe Every Tear. God bless you. To be continued.
Thank you.
Thank you, brother.
I've seen sunny days that I thought would never end. I've seen lonely times when I could not find a friend. But I always thought that I'd see you again.
Oh, hello.
Yeah.
Calvin, I hope you don't mind if I read something on the air. Do you mind?
I do not mind. You have a radio voice.
You would mind, but in this case, you don't mind. Okay, I want to read this. Okay,
and go.
Because I want my audience to be familiar with. We sometimes have sponsors on the program, and I thought, let me read this because I don't want to get it wrong. Okay, I know we've talked about this on the program, right? There's a major crisis in the West, and specifically in America, and I would say that is marriage. There are all kinds of marriages that are on the rocks. Families suffer. Kids suffer. Okay. The reason I want to read this is it says that, which is the collapse of healthy marriages and families, is the single biggest driver of church attendance decline in America.
Mm.
So how bad are things? For the first time in history, a majority of Americans say they don't belong to any house of worship. That's actually a huge metric. Okay. Well, okay. I wanted to end with some good news. So there's a new book, End Game, It reveals how our churches can revive marriages in our communities and drive up church attendance, too. Now, the church attendance is secondary, but the marriages, okay? So it's called Endgame. It provides us with proven solutions to inspire us to take action. And I know a little bit about this story. It's why I'm excited. There's an example of a group of churches in Jacksonville, Florida, reduced divorce rates 24%. There's just a few churches in Jacksonville in 3 years. 24%. So the strategies they used were put in a book, which is why I'm excited to talk about it. It's called Endgame, the Church's Strategic Move to Save Faith and Family in America. You can get it at endgamebook.org. I want to be clear. This is where you need to go, endgamebook.org. Obviously, if you use the promo code Eric, holy cow,
yeah.
Big savings, endgamebook.org. I say this just because I talk about this all the time, but we want to have sponsors on the program who are promoting things we believe in, okay? So Endgame is the most recent, endgamebook.org. But if you care about families and how to save marriages, and who doesn't? Folks, honestly, if somebody tells you there's a way to do this, you don't want to get me started. The families I've seen fall apart, and you think, oh, if there were any way.
Yeah.
So endgamebook.org. But most of the sponsors, actually all the sponsors on this program, are folks we believe in. It's why we promote them. I wanted to say that Nutramedics.com, mm-hmm. I took a test.
Yeah.
Did I talk about this on the program? I took a test.
Yeah.
Nutramedics, you took the test too.
Yeah.
And they tell you specifically what you should be taking.
Mm-hmm.
And they told me Rogaine, and they said they don't have that product.
Oh, wait a minute. They told me that too.
Just kidding. Just kidding. No, but it's kind of cool because they have stuff tailor-made for whatever. I take, because I don't want to have a weak immune system, every day I take vitamin C.
Yeah.
I take vitamin D.
I do too.
Take zinc, yep. Magnesium, yep. And what else? Other stuff. I forgot.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
But I want to say, folks, if you go to Nutramedics.com and use the code ERIC, whopping savings. I used to say whopping. Now I know it's whopping. Whopping savings at Nutramedics.com. And then since we're talking sponsors,
mm-hmm.
because however you spend your money, folks, if you give it to a company that's using your money not to help people or to promote things that you don't believe in, you should think about it. You might want to spend another nickel and give it to a company that cares about you. So it's why we promote MyPillow.com, MyStore.com, Nutramedics.com. They give 50% of their profits to missions organizations.
That's amazing.
So if you're going to buy, I don't know, melatonin, mm-hmm. stevia,
yeah.
like basic stuff, get it from Nutramedics. Tell your friends. We need to support those companies that are doing good. Use the code ERIC. You get a big savings. And I think we may be out of time. Let me check. Oh, yes, we are. Thank you.
Three-star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.